Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
He's our buddy from preseason Browns games on the Browns preseason TV network, from NFL.com, from all kinds of good things, university school, our LA correspondent. He's Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Christopher. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're okay. Hey, before good, we get safe. Into anything sports-wise, when we left you last week, you said you were packed, ready to go if you had to, and the fires were about a mile away from where you are. How are things now?
Well, there was a small fire that day, if I remember correctly.
Well, they all started small, Chris, right? They all started small. So,
yeah, but the big one that destroyed Pacific Palisades is the one that eventually got the closest to our house, and that got about a mile and a half from us. And if you were watching, it's got right on top of the Santa Monica Mountains. But the firefighters did an incredible job. I mean, it's just amazing to see what they have done. And we half our neighborhood left Friday night. We were packed and ready to go. You know, we don't have little kids anymore, so it wouldn't have been as chaotic. We had a plan in place. We had our cars pointed a direction. We knew who was taking what bags and the dog, and we were ready to go. Well, fortunately, we did not have to leave. We got about 12 more hours of the really, really bad winds, I think, that'll be here. And that's the most dangerous stuff. But we also have these, I cannot tell you the most, there's been a lot of good that has come out of this in terms of the way that people have reacted and pulled together and created a sense of community. There are a handful, just like there are at every sporting event, a handful of idiots, but these people are worse than idiots. They're sick, that are intentionally setting fires in the community. Wow. All over town. It's just disheartening. You get these reports of people, and I'll tell you this. I'm no legal expert, but I sure as hell would charge people with attempted first-degree murder if I could, if they were doing that. Yeah. So the good news is, we are doing well, and hopefully we'll continue to do so. I appreciate you asking.
It's interesting, too, to see, like, just Good Morning Football's on right now, and it's like I'm thinking about these guys. Mm-hmm. They're out there, and, man, they're just putting a smile on their face, and they're going to work, and I can't imagine what they're thinking about when they walk out the door and just trying to live a normal life if you're living in L.A. right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all depends. Like, if you're south of for people that know Los Angeles geography, if you're south of Brentwood and Pacific Palisades and all that, you get like, you can see the smoke, you can see the fires, but it might as well be worlds away. Fortunately mm-hmm. for them, it doesn't make it down that way. They, you know, they don't have the forestry, the, you know, natural habitat that would, you know, fortunately for things like that to burn. So it's disheartening, but those people aren't in imminent danger the way that some others are. So that's the good news, all depending on where you live.
All right, our fingers are crossed that everything goes for you, yours, everybody else out in Southern California, because it's a scary thing. You know, you're from here. We know what blizzards can do. You know, occasionally we get tornadoes, but everybody...
So you get the earthquakes, you get everything.
Yeah, it's rough out there. So hang in, buddy. We're thinking about you. Tommy Reese named offensive coordinator yesterday. Promotion, 32-year-old guy, young guy, never been an OC in the NFL. I think it's going to be a fascinating thing to watch, because Kevin and Andrew Berry need to win next year, and their OC is a guy who's never done it before at this level. shows a lot of confidence, Chris, because they got to win next year. Or at least they got to look good.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously the number one thing is, and I didn't see anything yet, is who's calling the plays, right? I mean,
right.
That was a storyline that dragged on from the minute Ken Dorsey arrived all the way up until it felt like opening day, almost. Like, I know it was figured out a little bit ahead of that, but still, it's just, you know, just, I would say, don't play any games, figure it out, and go with it from day one of installation. Like, don't have any mixed messages for players. Everybody has got to be on high alert in terms of knowing that this is probably it. This program has to show an entire turnaround from head to tails. And I have no problem with giving Tommy Reese a shot, particularly everything that you hear out of Nick Saban's mouth about him.
Yeah.
Go find old sound bites when they were playing in the playoffs a year ago and go read the stories about how much he loved the guy. And he has hired some, you know, very successful coaches as his offensive coordinators, whether that's Bill O'Brien, Brian Daboll, you know, guys like that. He's given guys a shot, and, you know, he really believes in Tommy Reese, so why shouldn't I?
What do you want the quarterback room to look like next year, and do you think the quarterback room will have the number two overall pick in it?
Well, I want it to look different. Let's start with that.
I think you got your wish. I think you're on your way.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. It's too early to say anything about the number two pick. I read you a note that I got from somebody that I have a lot of confidence in that covers the draft extensively. I'll continue to get opinions from those guys. You know, anybody can throw on a YouTube highlight. Type in Shedeur Sanders highlight. Type in Shedeur Sanders lowlight. Okay, I mean, if you're going to make your judgment based on an 8-minute clip, go for it. You do you. That's not what I'm going to do. I'll talk to people who really study it for a living. Now, once again, they don't nail it every time. They definitely don't. Go look at the people who do it for a living. When, you know, forget about draft prognosticators, the people who are doing the picking for a living. Right, 2021, there were 5 quarterbacks taken in the top 15 picks. 4 of them were with new teams by year 4 before their rookie deal was even up. And one of them got $275 million, and I don't know if everybody sold on him. So it is an inexact science. I just know from, you know, watching bits and pieces of games this year that I don't know if there's a second quarterback that I would love at that spot. And that's tough to say, but I kind of feel that way.
Chris Rose joining us from the NFL Network. Right now, the Raiders, Jaguars, Bears, Cowboys, Saints, Jets, all looking for a head coach. Does one of those jobs jump out to you as the job to have in this go-round? Or a couple of them?
Well, as of right now, you've got the best quarterback in Dallas. You have a lot of potential with Chicago. You have zero quarterback direction, in my opinion, in Las Vegas and with the Jets and with the Giants. Well, the Giants don't have an opening. Sorry, I didn't mean to fire you, Daboll. sorry, that's where I've been working with a couple of Jets fans too long. They wanted the whole house cleaned on that one.
Give it time. You never know.
Yeah, it's true. So, the best job, I mean, I think, you know, it might be Dallas. I don't love the job overall. Like, if you're to rank them 1 through 32, I don't love the job. But I think out of the ones that are available, it's pretty good. Still, you know, like I said, I like Dak. I think he's a good, solid quarterback.
Yeah,
you know what you're getting pretty much with him.
You think John Gruden gets good looks in this go-round, and would he be a good hire for someone? We know he obviously, you know, ran into some trouble with the emails that were leaked and said some things he shouldn't have said. I would wonder if a team would hire John, and I I've always liked him as a coach. I liked him as a broadcaster. I wonder if he's a viable candidate during this round.
Here's the thing that would concern me with him is that the guy loved every quarterback and never found one once he hit Tampa. Right?
Yeah, that's a great point, Chris.
So, you know, all we ever hear out of his mouth is how much he loves I love that guy. Love him. Dig him. And he's great entertainment, right? He's amazing. He's very different and unique. But if I'm hiring him, I would say, well, why couldn't you find the guy? He never found the guy. And in today's day and age, it's very simple. I mean, as we'll continue to have Browns discussions throughout this offseason, you have to remember a few things of where we are in the NFL at the quarterback position. How many teams made the playoffs this year?
14.
14 is correct. Mm-hmm. How many of them were quarterbacked by first-round picks?
Gosh, I don't know off the top of my head. I'll go with 12.
Just give a guess.
I'll go with 12.
12 is correct.
Thank you.
12 is correct.
Thank
you're very good at this.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Chris, don't play the game show game with him. It's not easy. It's not where I quit after the first year of the show.
So the only guys who made the playoffs that weren't first-rounders were Jalen Hurts, who was a second-rounder.
Yeah.
And you remember when he was drafted, Carson Wentz had just received a ton of money, and people were like, what the heck are we doing here? And the other one was Russell Wilson, who has now bounced around and been with three different teams in the last four seasons and might be on his fourth different team in five seasons by next year, but is a Super Bowl winner and is somewhat of an anomaly, in my opinion, with his career. So that means you got to get first-round talent. You just do. And even the next best that are on the outside looking in, for the most part, are first-round quarterbacks, right? It's just, that's kind of the way it goes. It doesn't mean you can't find them. I'm not going to say, well, if you don't get a first rounder, you're not going to make the playoffs. That's not accurate. But if Browns fans are sitting here going, hey, man, Jackson Dart's going to be a steal either at the top of the second round or in the third round, hey, he might be. And God bless him if that's what he is. But, man, oh, man, you are fighting an uphill battle in today's NFL. You just are.
Chris, I need to ask you about this before we let you go. You and Jay Crawford will emcee the 25th annual Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. I'm assuming it'll be the best damn cold pizza period. Is that what this is going to look like, or how are we doing this?
I love cold pizza. I'm in. Ken Andrews coming? Sure. Why not? Yeah. I love doing anything I can for the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission. I hosted, I think, the third Greater Cleveland Sports Week.
Yeah, you know, it was great, but you were still doing Best Damn then, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah, I thought what was unique, because I think you were the year or after Bill Walton, and I thought Bill Walton was really good. Oh, Roy Fierstein had did it. And when you went up there, I was like, I wonder how Chris is going to do this. And I felt like we were watching your show, because the folks did all those videos. It was great, Chris. I really enjoyed it when you did it.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun, and really the big attraction this time is the fact that we're doing a 30th reunion of the 95 Cleveland Indians, which is going to be great. So that's not going to be 5 minutes and go. You know, that could be a 20-minute segment where we're joined by Jim Tomei, Kenny Lofton, Charles Nagy, Mike Hargrove. We're still working on a surprise or two as well. And we'll get to reminisce about the team that, in my opinion, has meant as much to that city as anyone since probably the 64 Browns. You know, I mean, I would say outside of LeBron and maybe one of the Browns teams in the 80s that really kind of got us going. But it's the team that really saved our baseball landscape when it moved to the new stadium. And then in 94, we had the strike-shortened season, and the next year we wondered what it was going to look like, and they played baseball like most teams play football. And for people that weren't around for it, do yourselves a favor and go watch some specials on them, because, I mean, Tomei and Manny Ramirez hitting like sixth and seventh in the order, like, come on, just was incredible. And I can't wait to do that.
Sounds great, bud. Hey, glad things are okay for you and yours, and we hope everything gets calmed down for everybody in Southern California. Thank you.
No, I definitely, I always appreciate it. I appreciate you guys asking, and yeah, it's been a real challenge out here for a lot of people, but I think it's shown that as crazy as humanity has been, in my opinion, the last 6 or 7 years, that there's still a lot of good.
Chris, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
Chris Rose joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That's my pal Andy Baskin.
That's right. Who's got your back?
All taped up.
Who's got your back? Oh, see, you got to call me out on everything. Sorry, I broke my glasses today.
Well, now it's red tape again. What happened?
So what I did is
you had red tape. You didn't like it. You complained.
I did. Well, then
Ray, our chief engineer, brought in black tape for you. And now you've got red tape on it again.
And then I even taped the side that didn't need tape to make it look the same. And then Dan and I had the conversation. I was like, and Dan was like, the red looked better than the black.
I thought the red with the black together looked cool.
Can I offer a suggestion?
Sure.
Get to Walmart after work and go buy some readers.
Why do I have to go there? Are there other places I can go?
Go anywhere. I'm sure. Just go somewhere.
I can think of other places.
Buy some readers.
Jeff, here's the dealio. Ready? These were readers when I woke up this morning, and then the arm, you know, kind of cracked off.
Yeah, I know. Well, so go buy some new ones.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
You can
appreciate
get them.
You. Yeah, you're a good man.
I mean, you're better than taped up glasses.
Jeff, they were broken when I sat down
here. You could have asked your old pal Jeff to borrow a pair.
No, yours are too strong.
Not these. I have another one.
Oh, you have a... What are they?
These are prescription, but they're very... These are very light.
Can't wear those. Can't do it. They're prescription.
I wouldn't... But they're prescription readers only. The top of them is clear.
Oh.
All I need is some little reading glasses.
Well, what's the magnification down there? This is the oldest conversation we've ever had.
I don't
had
know.
This conversa-
I don't know
show,
what it is.
Just so you know.
Okay. All I know is that I am so looking forward to...
Yeah.
And extremely tired of
talking
about Brown's quarterback. But here we are again.
You're kidding. You realize we're doing this until week three.
Are you kidding? I created a shtick. Just, you know, let's find us a quarterback.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking about it for months. Why? Because it's a necessity. That's why. And why is it a necessity? Two reasons. We don't have one. Other teams do, and other teams who have them succeed, as Chris Rose pointed out when he joined us just a few moments ago. Dano, if you don't mind.
So the only guys who made the playoffs that weren't first-rounders were Jalen Hurts, who was a second-rounder.
Yeah.
And if you remember, when he was drafted, Carson Wentz had just received a ton of money, and people were like, what the heck are we doing here? And the other one was Russell Wilson, who has now bounced around and been with three different teams in the last four seasons and might be on his fourth different team in five seasons by next year, but is a Super Bowl winner and is somewhat of an anomaly, in my opinion, with his career. So that means you got to get first-round talent. You just do. And even the next best that are on the outside looking in, for the most part, are first-round quarterbacks.
Which means you need to find a quarterback. Now, the weird thing is the NFL landscape, Andy, is littered with former first-round draft choices who are looking for teams. We just did one. Let's find us a quarterback with Mac Jones today.
Right.
We've talked about Daniel Jones. He was a sixth overall pick. Carson Wentz was a second-round pick, or second overall pick. We'll be talking about him. And so... The magic elixir isn't that you draft a guy in the first round. It's that you draft the right guy in the first round. And that's what our team hasn't been able to do well enough to make everybody happy. And that includes people in Berea, because you took one first overall and you weren't happy enough with him that you wanted to go out and try and upgrade, which we all understood, but that hasn't worked.
This is settled by the draft, right? This is settled after the first day of the second day of the draft. We know exactly where they're going with this thing, right? Right.
You know, I think
all feel good about that.
I think we'll have a really good idea what's going on about 2 days after the start of free agency. I think we'll have a really good idea.
Yeah, but then are we going to have to dig into the trench about who they're going to draft? That's my question.
Well,
I really hope that we come out of the second day of free agency thinking, okay, they don't have to draft a quarterback at two. That's my dream. That is my dream. Because I just don't feel good about this class. You know, no one's jumping off the page.
It only takes one, and you're going to have your choice of everybody except one guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I'm just not feeling it this year. There are years I'm like, oh well, yeah, that guy might be a bust, but is he worth it? At you know, with the 6th pick or the 12th pick or the 18th pick, and you kind of weigh it out. And you're like, all right, I'm going to go watch this guy a little bit more. Or I'm going to go back and see that. I just don't feel it. I don't feel it. You know, and I got crushed on Twitter yesterday or X about my take on not wanting Sanders. It's not that I don't want him. I've seen this team take a quarterback because of the hype that goes along with it, because you think it makes you relevant. And it does. It definitely makes you relevant, but I don't know if that means wins. It might mean more games on national TV. It might mean selling more jerseys. I don't need to sell jerseys. I need a guy that can play quarterback for how about 5 years? Can we get a quarterback that can sit for 4 or 5 years? Is that asking way too much? A starting quarterback for 4 or 5 years?
Well, it should.
That would be what a treat that would be here in Cleveland.
You know, you could end up with, you know, 2 days into free agency, and this is where you might know what's going on or what isn't going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've thrown out the idea. I love the thought of veteran who's been around for a long time and some of these young guys who have been busts so far. I wonder, you know, if you do something like that in free agency, you know, and you think you can fix one of the young guys and you bring in one of the older guys and know he can play, I think that would tell you all you need to know about what they plan to do at number two, which would mean either drafting, you know, another position or trading out. So that's why I think free agency will tell us. I expect in free agency the Browns to sign a veteran quarterback who's been around, who's played, who they think can come in here and play quarterback for them next year. If they sign that second guy, that's where we might see some like, oh, okay. Well, we have two guys they've signed. They're not going to draft a quarterback.
There is a part of me, too, that says that number two spot is going to be extremely valuable, right? And
to somebody.
I mean, they could build up, prepare for the future on the offensive line, build depth. They could go out and find a wide receiver. There are a lot of things they could do with that two pick if they choose not to use it. I'm also not against trading that pick. Just please don't leave the top 10.
I don't care where you're drafting as long as you get people that can come in and really help. Ed's in Elyria. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Hi, guys. Couple questions. Is there a good edge rusher that would be worth like a second round pick to make Miles happy?
Oh, there are plenty of them. This could be
good
one
draft
of the
for edge rushers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would that be worth the second pick?
Well, they think Carter from Penn State is.
Yeah, for sure.
Many people do,
okay.
Ed.
Okay. Well, then I would like to see them get Miles happy and help him out. And then I guess because the quarterback, nobody's great out there, I wouldn't mind seeing them take a flyer on Will Howard in the second round.
Might not even need to go that high with that one, Ed.
I mean, you got 5 picks in the top 103, and that takes you to the second pick of the fourth round or something like that. I mean, I'm just even looking at Ryan Wilson in the first round alone, Abdul Carter, Mikel Williams from Georgia, Carter's from Penn State, in case you didn't know, Jalen Walker from Georgia, Nick Skirton from Texas A&M. I mean, these are all guys that could go in the first round. James Pierce. I mean, it's endless how many guys are. I'm looking at 7 edge rushers on this alone. 7. Here, Jack Sawyer, this is the first time I've seen him in a while. He's a first-round look as an edge rusher, too. And his stock keeps going up, man. If he has a really good national championship game, he will have made a lot of money during the playoffs.
Isn't that scary, though?
Well, yeah.
If a guy's stock is going to jump like crazy because of 2 games after they've had 4 years to evaluate him?
But it's not just 2 games. It's games against top 10 teams.
Okay.
And it's
he's
like,
played a lot of those, though.
But in some of those games, you can't tell. Like, it's no offense, but when you're playing Akron and you're playing some of the teams that you probably think aren't going to make the playoffs at the end of the year, it is tough to evaluate sometimes. And, you know, to watch the way Sawyer's played, I think what we're seeing now is more than his ability, it's his DNA, his heart, his desire, all those things, and being able to come up with gigantic plays at huge moments. I mean, not a lot of guys get that opportunity, and not a lot of guys deliver when the opportunity is in front of them, and that's what Sawyer did last week, but he's been doing it throughout the playoffs. So
it's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.